Today we talk about an important institution which not all countries have, a system for mapping, registering, and titling property. This is a picture of a South American slum. This one happens to be from Brazil, but throughout South America, millions of people live in places like this, as indeed they do in many other parts of the world. Now suppose we were to ask, who owns this house here? This one actually looks pretty nice. It's got some trees. In some sense, the people who live there own it, but there is no document attesting to that fact. Clearly, there's no street address. There's no map. Probably the people who live there may not even have official identification. And certainly, there is no registry which ties a particular piece of land which has been mapped and identified to an identifiable individual. There's no titling process for these pieces of property. Now, why is that important? Why is informal property not as useful as formal property? Formalized property is a public record of ownership and a promise of enforcement. And with that public record and promise comes increased security of tenure. And with that comes an increased incentive to invest in the property and to use that property as a means of savings. Moreover, formalized property can be marketized in a way in which informal property cannot. And by that, it means it can be used for other purposes. A formal piece of documented property, it's not just a place to live, it's a tool which can be used as collateral to access capital, equity, and other markets. Formalized property is also easier to buy and to sell, to trade, and because of that, it's easier to move formalized property to its highest valued uses. Finally, formalized property, an identification, an address system, helps to integrate people with the government, with utilities, with the workplace, helps to bring people into the market system. The Peruvian economist Hernando de Soto, in his books The Mystery of Capital and The Other Path, was one of the most forceful exponents of the importance of titling property. We have another video on Hernando de Soto, but because of his influence, Peru has been among the leaders in pushing property titles. So as already mentioned, urban squatters held no titles in Peru, and neither did most of the rural residents. In 1968, Peru had expropriated large estates and redistributed the property to workers in collectives. The collectives failed, as they did in many other parts of the world, and land was then transferred back to individuals in the 1980s, but without any official documents. The titling system was very slow, expensive, and complex at this time. In 1994, for example, less than 17% of the land parcels in the entire country were formally titled. Beginning around 1995, Peru embarked on a mass surveying and titling program, and it ended up titling many millions of property parcels. So what was the result of this program? Titling has generally had very good effects, but not always in the way that titling proponents expected. So in urban regions, labor supply increased by 21% in households whose property had been formalized. That's approximately 20 hours per week per household. That's a big effect. So why did it happen? Well, it seems to have happened because people were spending an unexpectedly large amount of time simply protecting their property. Here's a picture of a Peruvian slum, and you can see here's a dog right here protecting this house, perhaps while the owners are away. So what the owners were doing is they were keeping somebody at home, or they were running a home business solely in order to protect their property, because they feared that if they were out of the house, they might go to work one day and come back and someone would have taken over their home or would have destroyed their home. With titling, people felt more secure. They felt that they could go out into the market, work, and still come home and find that their house was there. Titling, however, had only modest effects on access to credit, perhaps because there simply wasn't enough wealth to generate a big increase in credit. A natural experiment, which took place in Buenos Aires in the 1980s, supports the Peruvian results. So in 1981, a group of squatters occupied a piece of wasteland in a suburban Buenos Aires neighborhood. In 1984, the government offered to compensate the former owners and officially titled the squatters. Now, the land was divided into 13 parcels. The squatters didn't even know this at the time. But it had 13 owners. 8 of the 13 owners accepted the deal. 5 refused and went to court. Owner acceptance appears to be random with respect to squatter and property characteristics. It appeared to be based more on family disputes among the owners than on any differences among the squatters or among the property. In other words, it appears to be the case that for random reasons, some of the squatters received title to their property and others of the squatters did not receive title. They continued to occupy the property but without official title because the court cases went on for decades. So in between around 2003-2007, data were collected to compare those who received official title with those who did not. What differences were there? Most clearly, those who received title had a large increase in housing investment. So houses where the owners had official title were 40% more likely to have good walls and 47% more likely to have a good roof. Also, households which received title were slightly smaller. Not entirely clear why this was the case. Perhaps because they had title in property, they felt it was less necessary to have insurance from a larger family size. With a smaller family, those with title also increased investment in child schooling. Once again, as we saw in Peru, there was negligible change in access to credit. Here's another natural or quasi-natural experiment taking place over a longer time frame. In World War I, Japan took over Palau, the Northern Mariana Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. These are islands all near the Philippines. The Japanese began extensive surveying, titling, and registration programs, tying specific parcels of land to individuals. They did this not to create economic growth, but because they wanted to identify which individuals they could tax. They did this for taxing reasons. The titling process was completed for the Northern Mariana Islands and Palau, but World War II interrupted the titling program in the Federated States and the Marshall Islands. As a result, in the latter two islands, the land remained under clan-based, customary ownership, and these rules were later respected and enforced by U.S. judges. So what were the results? Well, GDP per capita today differs tremendously in these islands. And the Northern Mariana Islands and Palau are much richer, 3, 4, 5 times richer than the Marshall Islands and the Federated States of Micronesia. Now, other things might have been going on at the time. Northern Mariana did become a commonwealth and so forth. So we have to take this with a little bit of grain of salt. Nevertheless, this does suggest that titling may have very good long-run properties. It may be increasing credit and investment in the long run, even if we don't see this in the first few years after titling. There's one other interesting piece of evidence. In one of the states of Palau, the titles were actually lost during the transfer to U.S. rule. And in that particular state, they went back to the customary rules. And that state is particularly underdeveloped. It has lots of potential for mining, but because no one knows who owns which piece of property, that potential has remained undeveloped in that part of Palau. Interesting evidence for the importance of titling and property rights. Here's some places for further resources. Take a look at Hernando de Soto's book, The Mystery of Capital. He really began this research. It's an excellent book. We also have another video on Hernando de Soto. The work on Peru is from Erica Field. The story about Buenos Aires is from Sebastian Galliani and Ernest Chargrosky. And Dongwu Yu and Richard Steckel have this very interesting paper on property rights and financial development, The Legacy of Japanese Colonial Institutions, which deals with the Micronesian islands, but also with Korea, Japan, Thailand, and other countries as well. Take a look at that paper. It's very interesting. Thanks.